Dwayne Johnson is a self-centered, egotistical, see-through son of a bitch. That wouldn't give a rat's ass if this company closed its doors tomorrow. Now I'll tell you something, Jack. I don't need words like respect and loyalty to trend worldwide. Just like I don't need my notes for my promo on my wrist. Nice tattoo. So here's the skinny. April 1st, when the millions see John Cena versus The Rock, John Cena is gonna be eyeing up Dwayne Johnson. And I don't like Dwayne Johnson.
Listening to Smack Talk Radio Live, your source for news, views, and opinions on everything wrestling, from the big leagues to the local scene. Now, here's James McDonald and Corey Callahan.
29 days. That's how many nights sleep everyone is losing for the next little while. And what a coincidence, it just happens to be the same amount of days until WrestleMania. That's right, the big dance is fast approaching, and like the judges on Dancing with the Stars, we're going to dissect every move along the way. Hello everyone, and welcome to Smack Talk Radio Live. I'm Corey Callahan, joined alongside James McDonald.
That's right, and we are broadcasting to you from the Smack Talk Studios in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia. Now matches for WrestleMania are starting to take form, and we'll break it all down for you in our Tale of the Tape, as well as catching you up with what's going on in the business in our post-to-post report. Also in tonight's Top 5, we're bringing to you the best off-script moments.
And in tonight's local wrestling scene, we're speaking with the 2012 ECCW Pacific Cup champion and new NWA Canadian Heavyweight Champion, Bishop, a very deserving winner in my eyes, James. As always, you can check out www.smacktalkradiolive.com or join in on facebook.com/smacktalkradio.
Right now, though, let's press slam things off with the Tale of the Tape.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
It's Thursday. No, it's Friday.
That's right. It's Friday.
Sorry, I couldn't read the notes written on my wrist there. It rubbed off. It's Friday evening.
That was good. That was very good.
How you doing tonight, James?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm tired, but not as tired as I was on Monday, that's for sure.
You were tired.
I was falling asleep almost at the microphone.
Well, I don't blame you, man. You work hard, much like myself, and that's just the way it is.
And how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Working lots. I actually was working this morning on the story of the BC teachers going on strike.
Oh, that's right. The whole labor disagreement between the provincial government and the teachers union
yes,
here in BC.
That's right. The teachers are set to walk off the job as of Monday, and today I was live on location with the students who were walking out and holding a press conference of their own in support of the teachers. So.
Now, you know this is just an excuse for the students to skip out of school early.
Of course.
What else? I mean, wouldn't you?
Although I will say this about the whole teacher strike. I used to work for the New Westminster School District, I'm just going to say it, and I got to tell you, I was responsible for a $500,000 budget, and even though I had a $500,000 budget, I was under scrutiny and eyes were watching me all the time on everything I purchased for the district. And let me tell you something about the school district. Money is tight and it couldn't get any tighter. So they need to loosen the belt just a little bit, pump a little more money into the education system in British Columbia. That's just my opinion because I've worked there firsthand and I know how tight that belt is.
So it's safe to say that you're kind of on the teacher's side with this whole thing.
Absolutely.
I'm there too, man.
I felt it firsthand. They need... You get what you pay for, and I don't think you know, being cheap with teachers is something you should lightly.
I just think it's disgraceful that the government wouldn't even come to negotiate with the teachers' union. So it's a shame that it's had to all come to this. Really, it is.
It is. It is. It is a shame. But here we are, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. And I'm sure for the next few weeks, when I'm working, I will be out on location. This is like what we're calling at work the new Occupy, because of course I work for Global News, and when we were covering Occupy Vancouver, like, I didn't even have to call into the newsroom. I already knew where I was going to be working that day. It was going to be down at the art gallery when Occupy Vancouver was going on.
Right.
But now it's the teacher strike. I don't even need to call into the newsroom. I know that I'm talking about the teacher strike on, you know, the morning of. So.
Well, it's the biggest thing going on in the province right now. So.
But we have bigger things to talk about tonight.
Yes, we do.
And that is the road to WrestleMania. Before we get into the whole thing, let's just remind everyone, www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, or our newest addition to the marketing campaign, and that's on Twitter, @SRLRadio. And have you been on there yet, James?
I've been on there a couple times. I'm still trying to figure this whole Twitter beast out. I mean, it's a new ball game for me, that's for sure, but slowly but surely, I'm coming to become more comfortable with it.
Our followers are slowly growing, one at a time, slowly but surely.
I'm thinking Twitter is going to be a greater resource to get our product out there than, say, something like Facebook would be.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the free advertising that comes with Twitter is something I've really realized in the last couple of weeks, and hence why I'm beginning to understand why the WWE promotes Twitter so much, because there really is a ton of possible free advertising. Not that we're going to abuse that power with Twitter, but not like some people we know.
like the Rock,
well,
maybe?
The Rock as well, yes. But yeah, it is a very powerful tool, and we are now on it. So if you want to follow along, at SRL Radio. So there you go. Now, one other thing I want to talk about before we get into the whole show is we are on the countdown to WrestleMania.
29 days.
And of course, Smack Talk Radio Live is going to be broadcasting live from Miami on WrestleMania weekend. Very exciting.
Very, very exciting. Oh, I can't wait. It's going
to
be awesome.
And I just wanted to give an update as to what the tentative plan is at this point. Now, on WrestleMania weekend, obviously WrestleMania is on the Sunday. We will be broadcasting, hopefully, from the Sun Life Stadium in Miami, outside Sun Life Stadium, on the Sunday. Now, the Friday before WrestleMania, we are going to be broadcasting live from WrestleMania Access. And Saturday, we're going to do an episode right on South Beach itself.
So to make a long story short, just keep your eyes peeled on our Facebook page, where we're going to keep you updated on everything that's happening as it happens. So
there will be a schedule of exact times that you can tune in to listen to our show live while we are down in Miami. That's coming in the next little while. But just keep your ears peeled for when we are broadcasting from Miami.
That's right. So join that Twitter page and like us on Facebook.
That's right. Look at you. It sounds like you're begging them to join.
Just like us on Facebook. Please.
Give us a review on iTunes. Wow. Please.
Oh, my God. We're going to have to work on the marketing campaign here. All right. Let's get into it, James. Monday Night Raw this week. Obviously, we saw the return of the Great One, The Rock. Overall thoughts on the whole thing?
Honestly, coming here 5 days after watching the whole episode, the whole segment on Raw, I got to say The Rock just did not look to be on his A game. I really thought John Cena came out of the whole thing looking better, and that was really a shock to me, because you don't really see somebody kind of one up The Rock at his own game. You know what I mean? Like, The Rock is known for his mic work and his promo skills. Hmm. And he just, to me, he came out totally flat, almost unprepared, it seemed like, on Monday.
Well, let's just spend a moment and catch up with what The Rock just had to say to John Cena this Monday on Raw.
John, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. That is the same man in here. Is the exact same man out there. The exact same man. The exact same man, John. But the difference between me and you, you come out here, you run your mouth about being tough. You ain't tough. I know it and you know it. The bottom line is this. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, the people's champ, the great one, the most electrifying man in all of entertainment. It doesn't matter, John. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters, and you're back there listening, is that what I'm going to do on the biggest stage of WrestleMania, the biggest match of all time, The Rock, all the nicknames you want gonna throw, team bring it worldwide. We're gonna kick your candy ass all over WrestleMania. If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
So there you go, James. The Rock finally making his debut on the road to WrestleMania, and he had a chance to talk to John Cena. Now, you're saying you were a little disappointed with the way The Rock debuted this week.
Just too much smiling, too much chanting, too much this is trending on Twitter, that is trending on Twitter. You know, I wanted to see The Rock come out with a little bit of intensity, a little bit of fire in his voice, and we just didn't get any of that.
I just felt like he was making it up off the top of his head as he went along, and that's fine, and typically The Rock can do that, but this Monday, it did not work in his favor. I felt that he was unprepared, and he may have just rolled in the night before with nothing ready to go for his debut, and I really noticed it, and I hate to say this, but I really feel like John Cena did up The Rock on Monday.
Oh, The Rock had absolutely no answer for him when he pulled out the whole notes on your wrist comment. I
want to get into that in a few seconds. But before we do, I want to just catch everyone up just with what exactly happened to get to this point. How have we gotten here with John Cena and The Rock going face-to-face? What's the history behind
it? Well, as you all know, or if you've been following wrestling lately, this Monday's Raw in Portland, it climaxed, of course, with an appearance by The Rock. And he was, of course, coming out to give his rebuttal to John Cena's promo that he cut last week on Raw. Now, of course, The Rock comes out to a huge reaction to the crowd. He gets them to chant various things like Boots to Asses, Fruity Pebbles, of course, Rocky, Kung Pao Bitch, and of course, my personal favorite, Missing Balls. Now, after the whole Missing Balls chant got started, John Cena would finally come out, come face to face with The Rock, says he used to be a Rock fan, but then he met Dwayne Johnson, of course, at the top of the show, which we heard him say he's a egotistical, self-centered, see-through son of a bitch.
He's separating The Rock and Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, that's right. He's trying to make separation between the two. And then that's when the segment got really interesting is when he called out The Rock on having notes written on his wrist for what he was going to say. And
let's stop right there for a second. Let's get right into that.
All
right. The Rock had notes on his wrist. It was proved. There were screenshots given after Monday Night Raw was over. There were screenshots uploaded to the internet proving that The Rock did have notes on his wrist. What do you make of that?
You know, I don't know what to make of that. Was he unprepared this week coming in for his promo? Like,
that would be my guess. But then as plain devil's advocate, I'm also thinking in my head that it might have been done on purpose. And I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like...
I don't know, man. I got to disagree with you there. That did not look like it was done on purpose.
I feel like it is because, let's be honest, up until tonight, it was a clear path as to who would be the better wrestler out of these two. Who's better, Rock or Cena? I don't think there's any denying that The Rock is way better than Cena in every level. And by having The Rock get caught with notes on his wrist, it grounds him a little bit and brings him back down to the level of John Cena. And maybe, just maybe, people aren't thinking that The Rock is as good as they think he is.
I don't know. Why would they do that? Why would they do something to take away credibility from the thing that The Rock is most famously known for? You know, that being his mic skills and his promo work. Like, why would they make him look bad like that?
Well, because this whole era of wrestling today is about reality, and it's not a secret that these guys have lines that they're working off of when they're doing promos. We've never seen anyone come out with notes on their wrist or at least get called out on it, and this is just exposing The Rock.
I think that's a practice that's been used for a long time in wrestling, though, guys having promo notes written on their hand.
But it's the first time they've ever talked about it in the middle of the ring. And let's be honest, after you heard that, James, your whole attitude of The Rock has changed.
I think a lot of people's has. Like, I mean,
this that's possibly what they were going for. They wanted to bring The Rock back down to a level that is quite equal with John Cena, and now people don't know who to go for. Do you go for the guy that's got the notes written on his wrist, or do you go for John Cena, the man who's been on the road 360 days a year and he's working for all the guys in the back? They've really evened the playing field.
I do. I see what you're saying, but I don't understand why the WWE wouldn't just create a face heel dichotomy between The Rock and John Cena, and let people naturally cheer for The Rock and naturally boo for John Cena like they are, instead of trying to force John Cena up to this level, this, you know, this 50-50, I guess, fan reaction level with The Rock.
Well, like, I'm going to say for two reasons.
You kind of get what I'm saying?
I do. But you're asking for standard storyline structure. And the reason why I don't agree with that is because this is the main event of WrestleMania. They need to do something new and so much greater than everything else to really sell this as the main event.
I don't think I'm looking for standard storyline structure. It's just natural. People want to cheer for The Rock and people want to boo for John Cena. So why don't they fly with that instead of trying to bring Cena up to The Rock's level?
Well, with one line, they've managed to convince a number of people to come off The Rock's bandwagon and onto Cena's.
See, I personally believe that that was breaking the fourth wall, and that was totally off the script. Something that was totally, I guess, shoot, as you could call it. Because the Rock looked visibly flustered. He was, as you heard in our clip here leading into Tale of the Tape, he was stumbling on his words. He was repeating his rebuttal about Dwayne and The Rock being, you know, different people.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, I think that was something that wasn't supposed to, you know, something they hadn't talked about beforehand. And
I'm thinking that it was something that has. I can't see The Rock making a careless mistake like that. And if John Cena wasn't supposed to mention that, I would think that he would be reprimanded big time in the back.
Oh, John Cena's not going to get reprimanded
but
for that.
Think about it. The Rock is here on his own time. He doesn't need to be here. If he's going to be made a fool... but if he's going to be made a fool by John Cena and that's not part of the show, what's stopping The Rock from just leaving altogether? I mean, he really looked like a chump after that
line. He's probably got contractual obligations to perform at WrestleMania, right?
Of course, but do you really want to piss off your star attraction?
Well, that's, it, you know, adds to the whole build of the program, I guess. But no, I still genuinely believe that that wasn't... you know, that was off the cuff.
I'm saying it was a work. I'm saying that...
Well, if it was a work, then I got to give chops to The Rock for his acting ability then, because...
hey, like, he is a pro actor.
He you know, that is another thing, you know. He is a very good actor, but...
like, this heated it up, in my eyes.
Oh,
this,
big time.
This
big
one
time.
Little comment heated it up, and whether The Rock was expecting it or not is a question
for... the whole internet is just buzzing about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, another thing for me that says that it was... a shoot. I mean, The Rock tossed his mic at the end of the promo. I don't know if you heard him mutter mofo underneath his breath at the end of
But it's those little things that really make you believe that The Rock and Cena do hate each other. And by calling The Rock out with these notes on his wrist, it really legitimizes the fact that these two probably do have beef for each other. Now, deep down, I don't think these two really do hate each other. I think that they are actually probably good friends.
Oh, they probably got... yeah.
But they've come to this mutual understanding that we're going to sell this event for everything it's got, and we're going to make everyone believe that we do hate each other, and this would be an excellent way to prove that. By calling The Rock out with notes on his wrist. I'm sorry. I think this whole thing was part of the show.
I don't know. I have to disagree with you. I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree on that one.
We won't, actually. It's my word over yours, and that's the way it is on Smack Talk Radio Live.
That's it. Me and you, a match, WrestleMania 28. We'll be the dark match, you and me.
All right, so how are you feeling about The Rock and Cena next week? Are you looking forward to it again? Like, I mean, you've got to be interested in this at this point in time.
Oh, I'm definitely interested in this. I think it's a shame that The Rock's not going to be on Raw next week, and we have to wait another week for him to come back. I think that's in Boston, isn't it?
Yeah, now obviously we're going to have the HBK returning, which means we're probably going to profile and highlight the Undertaker and Triple H match.
That's right.
We're just doing this bounce, you know, we're just bouncing off each other week
to
week.
I think that's a good idea, how they focus on one program one week and then heavily focus on another one the next week. That to me is a good idea.
Do you lose any heat, though, when you have to wait 2 weeks? Do you lose any momentum, I should say?
Maybe a little bit, but not enough where it's going to take away my interest completely.
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyways, the next time The Rock comes out and he grabs a microphone, I don't want to see any smiling. I don't want to see, you know, hey, let's chant this, and oh, this is trending on Twitter now, because
that's where I was gonna get to next. Is that's my biggest issue with this program, is that it's all about Facebook and Twitter, and I've mentioned this on the show before, and just The Rock and how he's trying to get everything to trend on Twitter,
please,
you're ruining the program in my eyes.
It was terrible. I mean, Monday had to be one of the worst promos I've ever seen The Rock deliver. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, just him coming out in that black T-shirt with the arms off and the jeans, he looks like he just came from the airport.
I know, yeah.
You know, and you know, wrote up his promo right then and there, put his notes on his wrist, and then went to the ring. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, I don't know, he just seemed unprepared. It wasn't a good promo. John Cena definitely got the better of him, in my opinion.
And did you ever think that would happen from here until WrestleMania? Did at any point, did you think Cena was going to look better than The Rock?
Well, if there's one person in the Fed that has, that's up there with The Rock as far as promo cutting and mic skills goes, it's definitely got to be John Cena. Maybe CM Punk. Well, yeah, I'd say CM Punk as well. Yeah. But it's, yeah, John Cena is definitely up there on The Rock's level. I didn't think we'd see it this way. Like, I thought this would kind of be The Rock's week to kind of get his rebuttal in and maybe make himself look a little bit better look going forward, but it was totally the other way around.
Now, do you think next Monday on Raw, or sorry, 2 weeks when The Rock does make his return again, do you see The Rock addressing the notes on the wrist, or does he leave it alone completely?
Oh, definitely. I would see him addressing the notes on the wrist.
Yeah?
Oh, absolutely.
And how do you respond to that if you're The Rock?
You know, I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know how I would personally respond to that, but he's got to come up with something. He's got to be intense. It's got to be angry. You know, it's just, no, I don't want to see smiling. You know, stop smiling, Rock.
I know.
You know?
For someone who hates his main event at WrestleMania opponent as much as he says he does, he's sure an awfully happy guy as he walks into that ring.
Oh, I don't know. He's just got to be, more intense for me. That's,
all right.
That's what I'm going with.
Well, why don't we leave it at that? This would actually bring us to our poll question.
The poll question. Log on to Facebook.com/SmackTalkRadio and cast your vote.
All right, the Smack Talk Radio Live poll question this week. Who do you think came out on top in regards to The Rock and John Cena face-to-face that happened this Monday night on Raw? If you want to take part, log on to Facebook.com/SmackTalkRadio, cast your vote. James is going with John Cena.
Definitely.
I have to go with John Cena, which I just can't believe I would actually ever admit, but it's the truth.
And where do you go from here, right? That's the big question.
All right, well, why don't we move on to the next big match that's at WrestleMania? I mean, obviously, there's Triple H and Undertaker, but one other match I wanted to talk about this week would be the CM Punk and Chris Jericho match. How did you feel about that?
Oh,
overall?
Man, they intensified this program tenfold. I am way more excited for this match now than I was before this week's Raw, that's for sure. I mean, it all came down to finally we're seeing a microphone battle between Jericho and CM Punk, which I think is what everybody wanted to see in the first place. So...
Well, let's hear a clip from Monday Night Raw with CM Punk and Chris Jericho.
See, you say that you're the best in the world at what you do, and I say that I'm the best wrestler in the world. The distinction to me is very simple. This is nothing I chose. I was born this way. This is who I am. This is what I do. While you choose to leave and write books and have a radio show and be on game shows, and you choose to be a rock star, and all the while I'm here on top swimming with sharks while you're dancing with stars.
Now that is such a great line.
I like that.
Swimming with sharks while you're dancing with stars. And that really sums it up, because, you know, Chris Jericho did leave the WWE to try and make it big in Hollywood. I mean, that's what some would say. And, you know, it's arguable, or it's debatable as to whether he did or not. But regardless, he's back in the WWE, so it couldn't have been that successful. And here is Chris Jericho claiming to be the best in the world. CM Punk saying he's the best in the world. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's more Jericho saying he's the best at what he does, CM Punk saying he's the best wrestler. No, I like that. I mean, after this week, I'm way more excited for this program going forward. I mean,
we finally got the mic battle between these two that you and I have been crying to see. Because up until this Monday, this feud was going nowhere fast. But now, it's really heated up.
After one promo battle.
And that's all it needed.
You know, and we were talking a little bit about this on Monday. I think I was mentioning to you, isn't it interesting to kind of to see the parallel with this program and John Cena and The Rock's program, you know, with Chris Jericho being kind of like the star who's come back, and CM Punk being the guy who's toiled, of course, and paid his dues night after night on Raw. So that's, you know, that's interesting to me anyways.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I don't know if anybody else has picked up on that, but
I'm very surprised at the fact that more people are not behind Chris Jericho in this instance. I find it hilarious that The Rock can come back after such a long absence and he still has the fans cheering. And then Chris Jericho, who's pretty much doing the exact same scenario as The Rock, he's got the crowd booing. I mean, obviously that's because he's made it clear that he's a heel.
That's the thing. Like, for as how good The Rock is as a babyface, that's kind of how good Jericho is as a heel. He's getting that negative reaction that you want him to generate. Right?
But you would think that most of the Attitude Era fans would kind of still be behind Chris Jericho.
Oh, I'm sure there's still a lot of support there for Chris Jericho. It's just CM Punk's really the hot commodity right now. He's got tons of support wherever he goes.
All right, at this point, are you a Jericho fan or a Punk fan?
Oh, I'll always be a Jericho fan. I mean, I do like CM Punk, but I mean, I'm old school. I'm Attitude Era. I like Chris Jericho.
So when you're sitting at Sun Life Stadium in Miami, who are you going for?
Oh, I'll be cheering for Chris Jericho for sure.
Interesting. I will hold you to that as I sit beside you.
No problem.
Do you think this match will be the best wrestled match on the card?
You know what? I really think this has the possibility to be this generation's Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat and kind of steal the show at WrestleMania. I think this is going to be a fantastically wrestled match, and we're going to see some really cool spots out of these two guys at WrestleMania. So I'm excited for it, for sure.
Do you think that they would possibly add any stipulations to this?
See, that's kind of what I was thinking about, too. Whether they'd add something like, I don't know, maybe if Jericho loses, he's gone type thing. I don't know. What kind of what stipulation would you add to this match?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, you could do... You're trying to determine who's the best in the world. Now, what match says I'm the best in the world? I would think just a standard match. I can't see them adding any stipulation.
No,
I mean, I'm thinking off the top of my head. I really can't.
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, I can't.
I would hate to see them throw something stupid in there, like a I quit match or something like that. I don't want to see that.
No.
These two are in the spotlight at WrestleMania. Let's have a solid wrestling match. And if it is going to be the best wrestled match on the show, I'm definitely interested to see that, because these two can deliver for sure.
Oh, they can deliver on the mic and they can deliver in the ring. That's why they claim they're the best, right?
Yeah. So now, where does this go from here, do you think? Well, I mean, obviously Jericho had attacked CM Punk from behind, wearing his leather pants and all.
Yeah. you know, doing the Lion Tamer, not the Walls of Jericho.
Yes, that's right. And this would be the first physicality we've seen between these two outside the ring. Does that heat up even more next Monday?
I think. What's Jericho's show called that he has? Do you remember what it's called?
Highlight Reel?
Yes, thank you. I think next week we're going to see a highlight reel, and we're going to have CM Punk be like a special guest. And then, you know, of course, there'll be some more physicality and maybe CM Punk will come out on top. So I think there'll be maybe a highlight reel next week. They'll have another mic battle, which, of course, everybody wants. And then we'll see a little bit more physicality and CM Punk will gain the upper hand going forward.
That's very interesting. I like that idea.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad one. I'm going to go with you on that one. Okay. Well, why don't we move on to another match that's recently been set.
Very recently, yeah.
As in tonight.
Tonight's SmackDown. So if you haven't watched SmackDown, this is a spoiler alert, people.
So I guess what? Turn our show off? Is that what you're promoting?
Just cover your ears for the next...
Earmuffs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this match that's been set up at WrestleMania would involve Cody Rhodes versus The Big Show.
It's over, dog. You can count to 100. Cover that boy, Big Show.
Mark Henry. The Big Show choke slamming somebody. It must not be WrestleMania. Let's take one of your finer WrestleMania moments. You versus the sumo great Aki Bono at WrestleMania 21. The lasting image of that match being your dimply, crater laden, looking like you left it hanging out in a hailstorm, fat. You know what? I'm being too perspicuous. Basically, you made an ass of yourself.
And then we proceed to see Cody Rhodes show the world these WrestleMania clips. This one being Aki Bono versus Big Show in a sumo wrestling match at WrestleMania 21. And he's beginning to show these clips of these moments at WrestleMania involving the Big Show. And, you know, they're not moments you really want to remember. Because let's be honest, the Big Show doesn't really have a lot of great moments at WrestleMania.
It's funny because you got, on one side, you've got The Undertaker with his amazing streak. And then on the other side, you've got Big Show who's maybe won, what, once or twice at WrestleMania the whole time he's been there? So.
And so that's the route they're taking with this angle is, you know, is Cody Rhodes is saying, Big Show, I got nothing to worry about when I take you on at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship because you haven't done anything at the Big Show. How do you feel about this matchup?
It's something that was thrown together quick, so honestly, I don't really have too much of an opinion on it right now. I mean, sure, this leaves some questions for me anyways. Like, what happened to the whole rumored career versus title match that Cody Rhodes was going to have with his brother Goldust?
Yeah, we never even saw any sort of Cody Rhodes Goldust match. You know, that there was never a final match between the two.
No,
there was a bit of animosity on SmackDown, but we never did see that match.
And it looked like they were kind of building that rivalry up, heading forward, maybe for a big match at WrestleMania. And then all of a sudden, it's just
I would have really liked to see.
That might have stolen the show.
It could have been an excellent opening match. And then on the other side of things, you could have had the Big Show take on Shaquille O'Neal. What's happened with that rumor that he was going to be part of WrestleMania? Here you have Shaquille O'Neal claiming that he's going to be at WrestleMania. You have the WWE saying he's not involved at WrestleMania, and then you have the Big Show left standing in the middle. I would have liked to have seen Shaq versus Big Show.
Oh, I would have too. That would have been huge in Miami.
And I would have liked to have seen Goldust versus Cody Rhodes, but instead we're not doing either, and we're putting Rhodes versus Big Show. And to me, this match is being thrown together at the last minute.
That's exactly what I was just about to say. This just reeks of last minute planning on creative's part.
Now, I wonder if negotiations fell through with the Big Show, or if this was just the plan along.
You know what? Maybe it was just WWE. WWE not making it happen because Shaquille O'Neal was going around saying multiple times, actually, on different shows and appearances that he was going to perform at WrestleMania 28. So
yeah, it's possible.
So I don't know. Maybe because Shaq was letting the proverbial cat out of the bag.
Yes.
Maybe WWE decided, okay, let's scrap this whole idea. Maybe our celebrity appearance this year will be The Rock.
Now, obviously, it's very early at this point, but who would be your pick at this point for Rhodes versus Big Show?
Honestly, I'd see Rhodes going over.
It is for the Intercontinental Championship. Do you really see the Big Show becoming the Intercontinental Champion?
No, it has nothing to do with the title, honestly. It's just, to me, this has to do with the Big Show's WrestleMania record. And I could honestly see him losing to Cody Rhodes just to kind of keep that reverse Undertaker streak going. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a new streak in town. It's 0-20. I know. It's very entertaining, isn't it? So. But that being said, as poor of a record that Big Show has at WrestleMania, I got to say, some of WrestleMania's greatest moments have included the Big Show. And he's done a very good job of putting other people over at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no secret that the Big Show is a bit of a, I don't want to use the word circus act, but I guess I will. But, you know, he's a bit of
I know what you're going with.
Novelty wrestler to the organization.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you put him up against Money Mayweather or whoever, you know, it's entertaining for the fans.
It's because of that, the size difference, right?
And, for example, with Big Show and Money Mayweather, even though the Big Show lost, deep down to all the hardcore wrestling fans, we know that he won because he did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
He put the celebrity over. And Big Show still comes out looking like a winner to the hardcore fan.
You're never going to find a more loyal company guy than the Big Show.
And you could say the same about this year when he takes on Cody Rhodes. If he loses, he still wins in my eyes.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's right. I mean, calling it early now, I really see Cody Rhodes going over. I really don't see, Show winning.
I agree. But maybe I will be, maybe my mind will change over the next couple weeks.
Who knows? WWE's been known to pull some surprises, but.
Now, some other noticeable names that don't have a match yet for WrestleMania, James. I mean, there's quite a list at this point.
There is actually quite a few guys on the roster.
Because the mid-card is very wide open in terms of WrestleMania at this point. I mean, you got Mark Henry, doesn't have a match. Here you have a guy who was the World Heavyweight Champion late last year, and now he's left without even a match so far.
I think he's probably going to be involved in whatever John Laurinaitis and Teddy Long have set up in WrestleMania. I think that's where we'll see Mark Henry.
And what about someone like The Miz? I mean, they're obviously running with this storyline that he has nothing yet. I mean, he's come out and addressed the crowd saying, you know, why don't I have a WrestleMania match yet? What happens with him?
And maybe that's the angle that he'll play up going all the way forward into WrestleMania, maybe right on to the end of March, is that he doesn't have a match for WrestleMania, and then maybe something will happen. I don't know. I mean, there's the big question mark still in the air about whether or not we're going to see a Money in the Bank ladder match at WrestleMania still or not.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we're having the pay-per-view, I believe, in July now it was announced. July out of Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, so I don't see the... From everything I have been told and heard about, Money in the Bank is not happening at WrestleMania.
No?
No. So I think we should all get that out of our head, that match is happening. It's not happening.
No?
No. Now, one interesting name that I cannot believe doesn't have a WrestleMania match yet would be Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that so strange how him and Jack Swagger both don't have anything heading into WrestleMania? I mean, Jack Swagger's your U.S. champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, that...
Well, who do you see him taking on at this point?
I don't know. Maybe I could see... Maybe it'll be like Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger against, say, R-Truth and Kofi Kingston. Maybe they'll have a tag match.
Well, it's actually interesting you say that because Vicky Guerrero posted on Twitter yesterday, and I just happened to read this, that she can't wait to be at SmackDown to see her tag team named American Perfection compete on the big show. So maybe they are putting together a tag team to take on Kofi and
I
Truth.
Like that name, American Perfection.
Swagger and Ziggler.
I think that could work.
I just don't want to see Ziggler in the tag team division, though. He's better off used as a singles competitor.
You know what? I totally agree with you there, but what are you going to do, right? I mean, Creative obviously doesn't know what to do with him, so their answer when they have guys like that is let's make a tag team and throw them into our absolutely useless tag division.
And then you still have guys like Santino Marella without a match. You have David Otunga without a match.
I think those guys are going into the Laurinaitis Teddy Long.
And then you look at the Divas division, and you have Beth Phoenix and Natalya without a match at this point. And I don't think Beth Phoenix is going to get one at WrestleMania.
Isn't that such a shame?
I think in terms of the Divas division, they're going to go with Eve Torres versus Kelly Kelly.
Oh,
as we witnessed on Raw starting this week.
Please. No, I'm... Oh, God. I don't want to go to Miami to watch that.
It's the only reason I'm going.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, this will wrap up Tale of the Tape. Now's a good time to remind everyone. You can email us anytime on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Have a take, and don't let it suck. Now, coming up on the big show we like to call Smack Talk Radio Live, we are speaking with the 2012 ECCW Pacific Cup champion and newly crowned NWA Canadian Heavyweight Champion. His name is Bishop, and he's coming on to talk about his big win this past weekend.
Also in tonight's top five, we're going to run down the five best shoot moments. Not shoot promos, but shoot moments.
And our post-to-post report next.
This is Smack Talk Radio Live.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the post-to-post report.
All right, the post-to-post report, catching you up with the business of the business. Now, James, before we get into the report this week, I wanted to bring up a new contest we're running at Smack Talk Radio Live. Our first contest, actually.
Exciting, exciting.
Now, we have these brand new Smack Talk Radio Live hats that we've got to give away.
Yay, merchandise!
We're planning to give them away in Miami, but we thought we should probably give a couple to the fans back home before we go give them out to the fans that we'll never see again.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
So here's the plan. We're asking you guys to send your opinion on the road to WrestleMania. Do you like what you see so far heading into the big show? Send us an email on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Just give us your opinions on the WWE today as a whole. All the emails that we receive, they're going to go into a hat, and we're going to pick a winner. And that winner will have a Smack Talk Radio Live hat mailed out to them. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Just make sure you include your contact information.
That's right. Now, we're going to start the post-to-post report this week with an article printed by the New York Post regarding the planned WWE network, and they were revealing reasons as to why the TV network will not launch on its originally announced date of April 1st. Now, this article states, and this is from an unmentioned source, that although WWE programming draws big ratings, it has yet to strike a single deal with a cable or satellite TV provider to carry its own channel. The article also quotes an unnamed cable executive who says, "The WWE has programming and marketing muscle, but they just have no one with cable experience who can execute for them. Hiring employees, negotiating TV distribution, and actual programming content are also discussed in this article."
So it just keeps clunking forward, this WWE network.
Well, this newspaper article could be very, very damaging to the credibility of this network, because here you are, the New York Post, okay? We have high-ranking people in New York reading this newspaper, and when they opened up to page C5 and they see the WWE network not launching as expected, and that's, they don't have the right people behind it,
definitely not a good thing. That's a stain on WWE for sure.
You have potential investors reading this article. You have possibly TV network people that you want to hire for your company who are no longer interested because they read this article. The outcome of this New York Post article could be very large, the impact of this article could be very large in terms of just how successful this launch will be.
I gotta agree with you there, man. Now, it was made public by WWE's 10K report for 2011, published recently, that Paul Levesque, of course better known to everybody as Triple H, has come to a new agreement with the WWE. Now, going into effect January 1st this year and expiring in 2016, highlights of the new deal include being paid a minimum annual compensation of $1 million for each year under contract, and being limited to 180 dates per year unless mutually agreed upon to extend, and not allowing Triple H to perform for any martial arts organization while under this contract.
Because, you know, Triple H versus Chael Sonnen was the next rumored UFC fight. Would you like to see Triple H in the UFC ever? I mean, obviously it's not going to happen, but...
No.
Would it have interested you?
No, because that would, I don't know. What if he gets beat badly? That just takes away credibility, don't you agree?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, WWE announced this week that they've opened a new office in Miami, Florida, which is, of course, the home of WrestleMania 28. This new office will serve as WWE's headquarters for all operations in Latin America, including media distribution, live event touring, consumer products, and more.
An updated list of WWE's pay-per-views were sent out to media affiliates this week, and it appears that the Money in the Bank pay-per-view will happen again in 2012, as it's tentatively set for July 15th from Phoenix, Arizona, as I was mentioning earlier.
So there you go. I mean, last year we did not have Money in the Bank on the WrestleMania show.
No.
But we had the pay-per-view. It looks like the same thing is going to happen again this year. You have the pay-per-view with no WrestleMania match.
We've talked about this a lot, but... quickly, do you agree with that or what?
I do, and I would agree with it just based purely off the success of last year's Money in the Bank. Obviously, they have a lot to live up to this year, but I agree that it could be its own pay-per-view, so I'm down with this decision.
You don't maybe think that last year's Money in the Bank was catching lightning in a bottle?
Of course it was, and if it doesn't work this year, I will change my answer and say no, throw the match back on WrestleMania. But they at least have this option now, which is nice.
See, personally, I'm for keeping it at WrestleMania and making it one of those special things about WrestleMania. And, of course, like we've always mentioned before, it gives something for a lot of the mid-card talent guys to do, right?
It was a great opening match for the big show, for sure.
It was.
And finally, in our post-to-post report this week, in terms of news items, the WWE did big numbers in Abu Dhabi when they recently brought their Raw World Tour to the United Arab Emirates. This happened February 9th to 11th earlier this year. They set an attendance record and merchandise record at the International Tennis Complex, performing for over 16,000 fans on its 3-day run. and the WWE has already announced that they're going to return there with more live events in 2013, expanding their international market.
Making a ton of money with no pyro and no girls.
That's right. Now, the sounds actually not bad. Now, the current WWE stock price is $9.05 a share. It's been jumping between $9.02 a share and $9.42 a share for the past week. Not big changes. Now, in terms of television ratings, the February 27th edition of Monday Night Raw, which featured The Rock's return, it scored a 3.13 rating, which is somewhat surprisingly down from the 3.24 rating last
week. That is surprising.
I guess The Rock just ain't cutting it for some of the fans here. Now, viewership was definitely hurt this week as the delayed Daytona 500 did run alongside Monday Night Raw, and it gave Monday Night Raw had an average of 4.65 million viewers, with the first hour averaging 4.7 million and the second hour declining to 4.59 million.
So again, we see the continuing trend of the show losing viewers as it heads into the second half.
Yes. And one thing I have to laugh about is here you had NASCAR and John Cena teaming up to promote the Daytona 500.
I know, this was hilarious.
And then
they delayed it, and they did it on the same day, so Cena couldn't even be there.
And not only that, here you are promoting a show that's taking away ratings from your show.
It's just messed.
How good is that?
It's messed.
So there you go, James. The post-to-post report. Another week in the books.
Yeah, it's... What can I say? Now, numbers for the 2012 Royal Rumble, Corey, came in this week, and the show had approximately 438,000 buys, which would be down 1.7% from the 2011 Rumble of 446,000 buys. So,
interesting.
What's your take on that? I mean,
I thought the Royal Rumble was just average this week or this year, so I'm not really too surprised.
Well, I mean, look how they've been promoting their winner, Sheamus. It's just—it's disgraceful.
He's not even in the running at this point for being somewhat interesting on WrestleMania.
They've taken away all mystique, or not mystique. What's the word I'm looking for? Credibility.
We use that word a lot, but yes, it's true. I mean, the Royal Rumble just doesn't seem as important as it once did.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is.
What else we got here? Heading in to a break.
So coming up on the show, I guess, we're going to have the 2012 ECCW Pacific Cup champion. We managed to catch up with him earlier and got an interview with him.
Also in tonight's top five, we are running down the top five best off-the-script moments. That's how we're calling it.
That's right. This is Smack Talk Radio Live.
In my pocket, 5-6 rides with rims and a body kit. You got a downgrade, you can get what I get. My chick can have what she want. You go in it, it's don't buy any bag she want. I know you ain't never had a man like that to buy you anything your heart desire like that. Yeah, I want your body, need your body. As long as you got me, you won't need nobody. You want it, I got it, go get it.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
All right, the local wrestling scene, catching you up with what, James?
Everything that's going on in the Pacific Northwest.
Nice. Now, we had a chance to check out ECCW's Pacific Cup, and that's a tournament that takes place every year here in the Lower Mainland in British Columbia. And it was split into a two-day event this year, James.
It was a fantastic show, I thought. We actually managed to go and catch it.
Yeah, well, we were only able to catch day one, unfortunately, because we both had to work on day two. But what were your thoughts on day one?
The wrestling was absolutely fantastic. That's the thing about going to these ECCW shows, is that the quality of the work is just really, really good. And with the Pacific Cup, I mean, they upped their game just that one notch more, and I thought it was really good. We had some fantastic matches, like Bishop versus Azeem, Phantasmo versus Artie was a fantastic match. That was the main event. It was an all around, it was a good show. Everybody was having a good time.
Any real big surprises for you?
The big surprise probably would be Randy Myers versus Gerv Sira's match, getting both guys thrown out. So both of our picks that we picked on last week's show ended up getting thrown out right in the first round. So
I was actually going to go with my surprising moment would be the Danny Deeds going over Scotty Mack.
That was surprising. In day one. That was surprising too, because I honestly did not call that.
No,
I didn't see that happening.
That was very surprising, and I thought day one was very good. I didn't get to see day two, so we can't give a complete accurate review of the Pacific Cup. But one thing I definitely do realize with the Pacific Cup is that these local wrestlers really are giving it their absolute all on this weekend, and the tournament really has a lot of meaning to these guys, to these wrestlers, and you really notice that when they're in the ring.
They up their game that one extra level, and it just makes for some fantastic work.
Now we had after day two they crowned the new Pacific Cup winner, obviously, the 2012 Pacific Cup winner. And were you a bit surprised at who it was?
You know what? Honestly, a little bit. Because it was a little bit out of left field.
Because you had picked...
I had picked Ravenous Randy Myers to go on and win the whole thing.
And I had picked Gerv Sira. And both those lost in the first round. So the door was wide open as to who was going to take the crown. And it ended up being Bishop... definitely not on anyone's radars, I don't think.
No, definitely wasn't on my radar. My pick after Randy Myers was going to be Artemis Spencer, just for the plain fact that he was the title holder, and he had to defend the title in every single match going through this tournament, which was surprising to me. So he ends up making it all the way to the finals. The finals was him and Bishop, of course. And yeah, Bishop went over.
And so he wins the Pacific Cup crown, and he wins the new... and he becomes the new NWA Canadian Heavyweight Champion.
Quite an accomplishment for him.
Now, we had a chance to speak to Bishop earlier this week, and we started off the interview just asking how important that Pacific Cup meant to him personally.
Well, the Pacific Cup's always been something that I wished I could be in. You know, obviously, in years past, it was done specifically for the cruiserweights, and I don't necessarily fit into that mold.
You're telling me.
I'm not under 220, you know, but I like wrestling their style so much that it's always been, you know, one of those things. Like every year whoever the booker or promoter at the time is, I've been like, Hey, I got this idea for me to get into the Pacific Cup, and, you know, obviously never come to fruition. And then this year, they just happened to decide that, you know, because of our roster and the way things are, that there's no real need for weight limits anymore.
Now, is this your first Pacific Cup?
This is my first Pacific Cup.
And that would be because of the weight restrictions that have now been lifted, is that right?
Yeah, that is exactly why.
I see. So just before we get into the Pacific Cup, maybe this will be a good opportunity to educate the audience just who Bishop is. You know, you used to go by Cole Bishop, and we haven't heard Cole Bishop for a long time. And just out of personal curiosity, why is that? Why are you no longer going by Cole Bishop?
Well, I mean, I started out when I started my career. I've been doing this for 9 years now. When I started, I was, you know, a smiley, happy baby face. I didn't, you know, clean cut. There wasn't really a whole lot to me. I didn't have much of a character. I was just kind of a pretty boy with a build that went out there whenever he got the opportunity and try to cheer along with the fans and stuff. And I didn't really have a name picked out before I started training, and it just kind of came to me. I don't remember exactly what it was. Bishop actually came about, funny story. Bishop came about because there was plans to start a chess team gimmick. And at the time, we already had Seth Knight. And
this sounds very interesting, by the way.
There was another guy training with me, Tim Justice, who was going to possibly be in the group as well. And then there was going to be Insane Bill Coltrane, who was a ref at the time, but wanted to be more. And so they were going to let him be like the chess master. And, you know, still in training, like 3 months in, someone talks about a gimmick or an idea. You think, wow, this is really cool. I'll wrap my head around this. So, you know, that's where Bishop came from. And Cole just sounded like a different name and not many people using it. So, and I like being different. I like, you know, like all my entrance music, it's always been something that's not usually mainstream. You know, I like people to signify me as myself and not relate it to anything else.
Of course.
Kind of thing. So I just wanted a name that stands out. So I went with Cole Bishop.
But there was a time, and that was around, what, 2007 or 2008, that you had actually dropped the first name Cole and you just went with Bishop. Was there a specific night when that went down?
I don't remember exactly. I just kind of gotten tired of it. You know, all the most people, when they refer to me, as Bish or something along those lines. And that's what I'd gotten used to. And I had recently turned back to face around the time when I won the NWA Canadian Championship for the first time. Mm-hmm. I turned face, and fans and stuff were calling me Cole, and I wasn't responding because I wasn't used to being called Cole. So I dropped it on my own, and I let some people know, but I didn't enforce it enough, I guess. So a lot of people were still referring to me as Cole Bishop, or, you know, when Sweater Vest would announce me or whoever would announce me, I'd be like, nah, it's just Bishop, no Cole. And then they just thought it was like a gimmick that I was just doing to get heat and stuff. So right. It took a while to catch on.
Well, there you go, James. We now have the answer, because that's something you and I have been wondering for a while.
We were asking ourselves.
Then. Yeah. Now, take us back. You said you've been at this game for 9 years. Take us back to the beginning of Bishop. Just how did the whole thing get started? Who's responsible for bringing you into the wrestling game and trained you along the way?
Who were your influences? Like, who did you watch when you were younger?
Well, I mean, I don't have a favorite wrestler with growing up or anything. I've been aware of wrestling since I was about 4 years old. I don't remember exactly, like, I can't pinpoint the exact match or anything I saw. Like, I can remember things in my head, like skyscraper match from Starcade and Magnum TA getting in a car accident, stuff like that. But like nothing that solidifies my memory of wrestling as a child that made me go, this is it. This is what I want to do. I just know that as far back as I can remember, I've always wanted to be a wrestler. And I mean, I liked all different types of wrestling growing up, you know, guys like Jake the Snake and British Bulldog and Bret Hart. And I mean, from all different walks of life, I'm ashamed to say that I was a huge Warrior Mark now, but I mean, at the time,
it's okay. You're not the only one.
Right. But, and so I guess, I mean, I take influences from all over the place. And then I went for a tryout at the ECCW House of Pain back in 99, I think it was, and which was just like a trial thing. And, you know, I did the day, whatever it was, and I assumed that they would contact me if saying, hey, we want you to come train, but now I know that's not the way it works. You know, you come try out and then you just sign up and go from there. But I didn't know that. So I did the tryout and nothing came about it. So I was like, oh, maybe I'm not the kind of guy that they want at their school. And then a couple of years later, I ran into Gorgeous Nacelle Starr at the gym, and I brought it up to him that I came to a tryout, and he was like, "Oh, you look good. You got a good look. Maybe you should come down and start training." And I was like, "Oh, that's all I need to do? I could have been doing this all along. Fuck." Yeah.
I would think immediately right off the bat, these guys would be attracted to the size of yourself.
Yeah, I was leaner back then, not a whole lot. I was around, I guess around 225, 230, but basically the same kind of look, just underdeveloped at the time. Mm-hmm.
So do you credit Michelle Starr with your training?
Well, at the time Vance Nevada came in, and he took over as head trainer. So Vance did the majority of my training. I had a couple classes with Disco, a couple classes with Chance Beckett was there for a couple weeks when Vance was gone on a Northern Hell tour or a tour of the prairies or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And then Star came in a few times, but I'd say the majority of my training was Vance, and then Idol towards the end of the closing of the House of Pain.
Now, you're one of these wrestlers that have really stuck with it throughout the years. A lot of times you'll see, a new guy come in, he'll maybe with the game for a couple years, he may be seriously training for, 3-4 years. You see him on the scene for maybe 5 years, and then he kind of disappears. He may come back, he may not, but you're someone that for the last 9 years really has stuck with this local wrestling game as dedicated as you possibly can be. Just how important is local wrestling to yourself, and how much does it consume your life?
I mean, right now it is pretty much my whole life. There's been ups and downs, times where I thought maybe I should take some time off, or I got a girlfriend and I was like, oh, I should devote all my time to her instead.
Share your pain, my friend.
Women will do
that. like silly things like that where you think maybe other stuff's more important. But I'm the only guy left from my training class. I guess not, because Halo or Artemis Spencer was there, mm-hmm. when I started. And Tim Justice has recently resurfaced. So, he was gone for a while. Mm-hmm. But yeah, guys come and go, and that's just the nature of the beast, I guess.
Is there
because it's just something that the passion's always there. So why wouldn't I?
Exactly. And my question to you is there still an ultimate goal? Are you still as dedicated as you were 9 years ago? Are you happy with just the local wrestling, or are you inspired to do even more and bigger things?
I'm probably more invested now than I was 9 years ago. Like, I was just a kid who knew nothing about the business. Like, I didn't grow up. I didn't read the dirt sheets. I didn't, I kind of had my blinders on when I started, and I was just like, I had no idea what it was going to take. But there's still an ultimate goal. It's fading because of my age, and I know that the Fed's not looking for older guys. They want guys that they can brand for and market for years and years, so they're not necessarily looking for older guys right now. But there also is the influx of indie guys getting picked up.
Well, how about goals on a local wrestling level? Do you have an ultimate goal on the local scene?
There isn't much more that I can. I've done pretty much everything that I can do. the Pat Cup was one thing missing. I can't win the women's title. I can't win the junior title that's been taken out now. So, as far as ECW goes, I've won all the big boy belts and done everything that I can do. The other promotions in the area that I work at, I've never been the heavyweight champ or the number one guy in their promotions, but I don't really expect you, because I'm an out of towner. That's not your job is a out-of-towner is to put over their talent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't ever expect to get the gold down there.
Would you like to do more traveling to other organizations?
Oh, definitely. I would love to. I haven't put forth enough effort, and I blame that solely on myself. You know, when I was younger, I was naive, and I thought, oh, maybe my name will get out there and people just want me. Now I know that the only way to get out there is to get noticed and send your tapes and do what you got to do to get noticed. And I just haven't done it.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. That's all right. Because you got very good things going for yourself locally. So you might want to focus on those first.
2012 Pacific Cup champion, NWA Canadian heavyweight champion. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, nothing to sneeze at.
So let's get into that. Why don't we get into that? You know, Pacific Cup, it went down last weekend. Bishop, just how did you feel about the whole tournament as a whole? Were you impressed with everyone else going on and with the other brackets outside of yours, I should say?
You know, I watched. I didn't get to watch a lot of it while I was there, because I was more concerned with what I was doing and trying to figure out stuff and psych myself up and, you know, just keep my head in the game. But I record all the shows and I watch them back after, and I've watched both nights, and there's some incredible talent that ECCW has. You know, like, I'm pretty sure Jordy and Baroni tore the house down on Monday night, as well as Artie and LP, just amazing, which you expect. You know, night two, Artie and Billy started the show off. It was amazing. Baroni and Lush, Artie Plexus. You know, there's so many good matches from the tournament that I can't.
The whole show itself was fantastic, I thought. Mm-hmm. And especially that match you had against Azeem the Dream. I mean, you just absolutely killed him, pinning him with the feet on the ropes. I really liked the finish and the big powerbomb at the end. That was fantastic, I thought.
I love, you know, Azeem is an awesome guy to be in the ring with. He, you know, he's, you know, recently turned babyface, and you know, skeptical about him being able to get over, because
he seemed pretty over to me.
He's so hated.
Oh, he's not over with me. I'm telling you that right now.
Give him a chance. Give him a chance. Once he, like, I think he can really endear himself to the crowd, and I think that they're really starting to get behind him, and I think it'll just grow. So I was really happy. I was happy with that match. I was the whole way it turned out, it was great, exactly what I wanted out of that match.
Well, that's excellent. How about when you finally went to the round two, how about yourself versus Danny Deez? How'd you feel about that match?
Well, I mean, that the didn't get to be a whole lot of a match because of some outside interference by Scotty. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's their business. The fact of the matter is Deez decided that he wanted to continue because it's the Pat Cup, and, you know, mm-hmm. everyone wants to be in the Pat Cup. So he continued on, and, well, cost him.
Ran into a brick wall named Bishop.
Yes.
Yeah, the match didn't last very long.
And how about in the third round, Kenny Lush? That must have been an interesting match.
You know, wrestling Kenny Lush, he comes out of the curtain, and he's got it turned up to like 15 or 20. And you know that you're like, oh, crap, things are going down now because it's Kenny Lush. This is going to be a fight.
Yeah, things
are
like, we're,
you know, we got to throw down. And you got to match his intensity. If you can't match his intensity, you're going, you can't hang with him. So you got to amp it up just to hang with him. And, you know, I think our match last year at Pat Cup might have been a little better, just different style. But it was a really good match. I really enjoyed it, and
it brought you to the finals.
Yeah,
it brought you to the finals where you faced Artemis Spencer. How did that one go down for you? I mean, I'm thinking you're pretty happy with the result of that one.
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm happy with the result. I mean, I ended up getting a fractured ankle in my match with Lush. I didn't know it at the time. I thought I had just rolled it or whatever. Nothing big. And, you know, like I said, it's Pat Cup. You got to keep going. You know, hid my injury from Naturals, you know, didn't let anyone know that there might be some problems.
So you actually wrestled in the Pacific Cup final completely injured.
Yeah, give him props, goes in there and beats the champion.
Yeah, technically.
Was there any hesitation from anyone else, or did you literally hide that from everyone until after the night was over?
I hit it. I mean, Artie might have seen me hobbling around backstage, and he was like, I'm a little worried about that ankle there. And I'm like, don't worry about it. It's fine. I'll let you know. Mm-hmm. And we went out there, and it wasn't a problem. And, you know, once the adrenaline kicks in, you forget about it, and you just go along with the match.
And were you overall happy with the finals of the 2012 Pacific Cup?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I won, so why would I not be happy? But
aside from that, though, I mean, with the actual match itself.
I mean, me and Artie could have gone out there and done like 20 more finishers and kicked out of them all and really tore the house down. I think the way it went down, I think it's believable. Mm-hmm. And solidified it as a solid finish.
And you are
the fans. Were,
oh, were I from what I yeah from what I understand, the fans are really extremely happy with the outcome, and they were all very impressed with the finals. So my question to you is: you are now the NWA Canadian Heavyweight Champion. What does that mean for you? And just like, does that propel you into the spotlight on the indie wrestling scene, or is this familiar territory for you?
I mean, like I said before, this is my second time holding that belt. The last time I held it, I was a little naive. You know, I thought, wow, maybe, you know, NWA promotions will come calling. No, they didn't come calling. And then at the time, I was, Aaron Idol was ECCW champion, and he was, you know, in the spotlight, which he deserved to be. But there was, you know, there was often shows where I wasn't booked for, you know, a few shows in a row, nothing was happening. I don't think I will let that happen this time, because mm-hmm. I know a lot more now than I did then, and I know how to make things happen and get the response that I want to get. And
you've just, you know, got that much more experience, right?
Yeah, like when they gave me the NWA belt the first time, I turned babyface the night I got the belt, and so I was just getting into the swing of being a heel, and just I had just gotten used to it, and finally getting some legs and some heat with the crowd doing it, and then they took it away. Mm-hmm. And made me be the smiling, happy babyface. So, you know, this time I don't see that happening. I think I've established myself as a fairly dominant heel in the promotion, and I don't see them wanting to change that.
And you must be doing something right, because you have other eyes watching you as well. Because coming up shortly, you yourself have a big TV show that's going to be on TV. Why don't you fill everyone on what that is?
Well, in August, I went to Calgary and for 3 weeks and filmed a show called World of Hurt. It's season two. Season one, the head trainer was Lance Storm with, you know, a bunch of Storm trainees. This time, they brought in Roddy Piper. So me and 12 other people got to hang out with Piper for 3 weeks, and they filmed it in a reality style environment, and then they do weekly episodes on the Cave Network, which is like channel 97 on Shaw, and I'm not sure about TELUS TV or anything like that. You'll have to check your local listings. Mm-hmm. If, and you should decide to check it out. And my episode's coming up. My episode, I'm number 9, and it was just episode 4 this last week. So mine's coming up in about 5 weeks.
What does the future hold for Bishop? You have World of Hurt obviously happening. Are you scheduled for any tentative matches with ECCW coming up?
I mean, Extreme Chamber's coming up March 24th. I believe I get my cast off the day before, so I will be in the Extreme Chamber, which is a 4-on-4 against El Fantasmo, Jason Sullivan, Sid Sylum, and Azeem the Dream against Natural Selection, and we are not letting know which four we will be presenting at that point in time.
So this injury that you suffered at the Pacific Cup, this will not keep you sidelined for this match. You should be ready to go by then.
Yeah, I'm telling myself, I've been told by the doctors that I have to wear the cast for a month. No one said anything about rehab or anything like that. So I assume as soon as the cast comes off, I'm good to go. That's the assumption I'm going under, and I don't see why I wouldn't be able to. I mean, I can walk around and do most things on it right now. So I don't see it being a problem.
Or I have an idea. Maybe you can keep the cast on and then take it off during the match and use it on Azeem the Dream.
That's an excellent idea.
A little Cowboy Bob Orton justice.
Yeah. Bishop, we're running out of time. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we let you go tonight? You know, future plans?
Yeah.
You got a good story for us? Anything like that?
I mean, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. There's a million stories that I could tell, but I probably shouldn't tell. You know, just to...
See, those are the ones that we want, though.
Which one?
Well, maybe we'll do this again in the future, but we'll make sure you have a couple beers in you before we bring you on the show. How does that sound?
Maybe.
All right, Bishop, thank you very much. If anyone wants to check out the 2012 ECCW Pacific Cup champion and new NWA Canadian Heavyweight Champion, they can do so by checking out an event. And to find out more, ECCW.com for all the details. Bishop, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. It was excellent talking to you, and congratulations on your big win this week, past weekend.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
There you go, James. Bishop, the 2012 Pacific Cup champion.
A deserving champion, I think.
And what was your take on talking to him?
Oh, he seems like a really cool, down-to-earth guy. Just, you know, someone that would be fun to go out to the bar with and, you know.
One thing I have to say about Bishop is he is one of those guys that legitimately loves wrestling. And I know that him and I and you share that passion for the industry. I really get that feeling from him. And I really feel like he puts everything into professional wrestling himself. With
well, look at that. He went into the final match with a broken ankle. You're saying?
And I
dedication.
And I can feel the passion just by talking to him. So I'm definitely a fan of Bishop. And I gotta say, I was surprised that he had won the Pacific Cup. But when I actually heard that he did win it, I thought, yeah, for sure, it makes sense. It's a good idea to put the title of Pacific Cup champion on him, and then to give him the belt, because let's be honest, he is one of the more intimidating wrestlers in the ECCW.
And he's been there for a while, and he's paid his dues, right?
Yeah, so. It's...
Like he was mentioning, this is his second time now holding the NWA Canadian Heavyweight title, so...
Yeah, it's... I'm surprised at myself for actually overthinking that he may have a shot at winning it. I should have thought about that. He's a deserving champion for sure.
So, of course, if you want any more information on anything that's going down with the ECCW, you can always check out their website at www.eccw.com.
Now, coming up on Smack Talk Radio Live, we have one segment left, James, and what's that?
That's the top five, and we're going over the top five wrestling shoot moments that are either worked or real.
This is Smack Talk Radio Live.
Saving it up Friday night. You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live. Helping you remember what most of us couldn't. Tonight's top five.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. This is Smack Talk Radio Live, and right now we're into the top five. Tonight's top five, that is. And we're going with the five best wrestling shoot moments. How they work at real, Corey?
I don't know. It's a good question. And really, the biggest question would be, was the line from John Cena this Monday on Raw, whether or not The Rock, you know, had the notes on his wrist. Was that supposed to happen or wasn't that supposed to happen?
Well, let's find out. Let's hit it up with number five. And that's I Respect You, Booker Man. This, of course, happened with Brian Pillman at the WCW Super Bowl back in 1996. Now, in a strap match in which the loser had to say, I respect you, to the winner, Pillman, who was doing his loose cannon gimmick, and Kevin Sullivan engaged in a realistic-looking brawl before the opening bell and never even got the strap secured around their wrists. Now, about a minute into the action, Pillman grabbed the microphone and said, I respect you, Booker man, and then walked out of the ring. Now, Sullivan was the WCW Booker at the time, which obviously had never been mentioned on TV. Now, Pillman was fired by WCW shortly thereafter. Now, even though it was originally a work, the aftermath had turned into a shoot. WCW executive Eric Bischoff, Pillman, and Sullivan tried to fool everyone, including people in the company, into believing that the incident was legitimate. To that end, Pillman convinced Bischoff to actually fire him and file the proper paperwork. Now, as part of the storyline, Pillman took his loose cannon gimmick to ECW, and the plan was that he would cause a stir there and then eventually return to WCW, but since he was officially a free agent, he ended up double-crossing WCW and signing with WWE.
This brings us to number four, Shawn Michaels collapsing, and that was on Monday Night Raw in 1995. Now, a month after Michaels was legitimately badly beaten up by several men outside a bar, he returned to TV to face Owen Hart. After several minutes of action, Michaels suddenly began to stumble, grabbed his head, and collapsed in the ring. At that point, the match came to a halt, and as the referee checked on Michaels, Hart broke character and seemed concerned. Announcer Vince McMahon could be heard saying softly, "Go to black," and then he entered the ring. After an awkward cutaway to a commercial break, the show resumed with medical personnel working on a seemingly conscious Michaels as the camera showed some women in the crowd in tears. The show went off the airs with Michaels still down, and even though it was a work, a lot of fans were fooled because that kind of angle just wasn't done in the WWE at the time, and also because people knew that beating Michaels people knew about the beating that Michaels had suffered outside the ring was legitimate. Michaels made a triumphant return at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, where he won the Rumble match and went on to win the WWE title for the first time at WrestleMania 12.
Fantastic match, too, at WrestleMania 12. One of the greatest ever. The 60-minute Iron Match, him and Bret Hart, just fantastic.
And this brings us to number three, and that would be Daniel Puter shooting on Kurt Angle. This was at an episode of SmackDown in 2004. Puter was a competitor on Tough Enough, a reality show for up-and-coming talent, which at that time took place within episodes of SmackDown. Angle was playing a bully and he had just manhandled one of the participants in a shoot wrestling match. He then issued a challenge to anyone else who wanted to try him. Daniel Puter, who had an MMA background, he'd volunteer. Instead of Angle teaching him a lesson, however, Puter held his own and was able to catch Angle in a key lock submission hold. Puter was on his back at the time, though, and one of the referees quickly counted three and awarded the match to Angle. After it was over, an incensed Angle got in Puter's face for shooting on him. Casual viewers may have not thought twice about this, but it was those with knowledge of MMA fighting that realized that Angle was in real trouble, and had the referee not sensed it and made the three count, Angle would have either had to tap out or risk serious injury. Obviously, that would have been a disaster for both Angle and the WWE. Puter did end up winning Tough Enough, but he didn't last long in the WWE and was released shortly thereafter.
I remember that too when that happened. I thought something was kind of weird there, and it just...
I was never a fan of Daniel Puter, so
no,
I was glad to
wasn't.
See him go.
Do you remember him in the Royal Rumble after that? I think it was the 2005 Royal Rumble. Man, he just got a beating from Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit when he finally entered.
Yes.
Holy smokes. Anyways, this brings us to number two, and this is called the Stinger Squash. This, of course, happened last year at TNA Victory Road. Now, in this match for the TNA title, the challenger, Jeff Hardy, came out looking like he was in absolutely no shape to perform. Now, just before the match was set to begin, Eric Bischoff came to the ring and announced that it would be a no disqualification match. He then said something off microphone to Hardy and his opponent, Sting. Now, if you listen closely, you can hear Bischoff saying, "Just squash him, the Sting." Shortly after the opening bell, Sting hit the Scorpion Death Drop and appeared to put all his weight on Hardy for the three count. Now, Hardy clearly tried to kick out at two, but was unsuccessful. Hardy seemed stunned that he was pinned, and he did not sell the effects of the move at all. Now, Hardy would say something to the referee and then walked over to the corner and smacked the turnbuckle in frustration. As the crowd voiced its displeasure at the 88-second main event while Sting walked back up the ramp, Stinger, who had a sour look on his face during most of this, said, I agree, so basically agreeing with the whole the negative fan reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bischoff and Vince Russo, they love doing work shoots, so you always have to be kind of suspicious of anything that they're involved in, but this one was legitimate. Now, Jeff Hardy has since returned to wrestling with TNA.
Interesting.
So, this will bring us to our big number one spot.
All right, the number one top five worked... What are you calling it again, James? I keep getting confused.
This is like... I'm calling it like top five shoot moments. It's not shoot promos, but like off the script moments, I guess we could call it.
All right.
Anyways,
here's number one.
Number one.
As much as you won't admit, Madden, you knew that Hogan would make it back here to Bash of the Big.
No. I knew he'd never, ever miss a big pay-per-view payday. What's Jeff doing? Is it Halloween Havoc all over again?
Russo's coming. Russo. What's he saying?
Russo, I think, told Jared to lie down. What's going on?
Look at Russo is holding the belt up like, do you want the belt? Pin the man. Jarrett's down.
And Hogan is as shocked as
what
we are.
What in the world? Jeff Jarrett. This can't be Jeff Jarrett, a man that grew up in this sport.
What is going on?
He just threw the world title into Hogan.
To Hogan.
What the hell? Now Russo.
This is, I think we're deviating from the norm here. Deviating from the script. I hesitate to say that, but what the hell is going on?
I don't think Hogan had any idea what was going on.
Yeah, Hogan. I don't know what to say.
I don't know if Hulk Hogan.
Hogan has asked for another microphone. I think he wants to talk again. So fans, we apologize.
Russo, what a return.
Signature deal, Russo.
Wow.
That's why this company's in the damn shape it's in, because of bullshit like this.
God, this is real life. One, two, three.
This is real life, Corey.
I love that line.
There you go. Number one. Vince Russo at his absolute best, and of course, this was at the infamous WCW Bash at the Beach back in 2000. Now, at the Bash at the Beach, kind of hard to say, pay-per-view in 2000, Jeff Jarrett was set to defend his title against Hulk Hogan. Now, Vince Russo would come out at the start of the main event match between the champion Jarrett and the Hulkster, and ordered Jarrett to allow Hogan to pin him. Jarrett would then enter the ring and immediately lay prone. After at first refusing to go along with it, Hogan reluctantly covered Jarrett to win the title. Now, while doing so, Hogan said to Russo, "This is why the company's in the shape it's in, because of bullshit like this," like we just heard in the clip there. Now, Vince Russo, though, would later come back later on in the show, actually, and cut a vitriolic, profanity-laced promo about Hogan playing backstage politics. He then declared that the belt that Hogan left with would be worthless, and said that Jarrett was still the WCW champion, and he would defend his title later that night against Booker T. Now, this was a work that became a shoot. The scenario was scripted, but Russo apparently went further with his derogatory remarks about Hogan during his promo than the Hulkster had originally expected. Now, Hogan, of course, would later file a lawsuit against Russo and WCW for defamation of his character, but this lawsuit was eventually thrown out of court.
There you go.
So there you go. There's our top five off-the-script moments, I guess we'll call it.
Vince Russo taking the number one spot. Does that really surprise you?
Not at all. And you know what? Getting rid of him was the best thing that TNA has done, I'm telling you.
Oh, I agree. I found it interesting when we were just watching the clip today that, Vince Russo came out with Jeff Jarrett for that match against Hogan at Bash at the Beach 2000. And here you have today, well, not so much anymore, but today you have Vince Russo working alongside Jeff Jarrett and TNA. I think those two guys are
they've probably got really good buddies. They've probably got a really good working relationship, at least, or something along those lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. That'll do it for another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live on a Friday evening, not a Thursday, James.
Yeah, it's what can I say? It's the exact same, isn't it?
Oh, he's at a loss for words.
At a loss for words.
Now, coming up, this Monday, we're going to have another edition of SRL on a Monday night.
That's right. That's where we watch Raw, and then right after Raw, we hit the studio, turn on the mics, and just shoot the cuff about the episode we just saw. So,
if you ever want to hear James do a show where he's incredibly tired,
then tune in on Monday night for sure.
Now, the other thing I wanted to remind everyone about was, of course, the contest that we had mentioned earlier for a brand new state-of-the-art Smack Talk Radio Live hat. If you haven't seen these things yet, you don't know what you're missing.
He thought Jericho's jacket was impressive. Wait till you see these hats.
Unbelievable. And the amount of ladies that have come up to you and I asking about these hats is like nothing else.
Unreal. I mean, I must have gained, what, 15 Facebook friends this week alone?
And they were all, you know, strippers. And...
Okay, where are we going with this?
Where I'm going with this is... Take part in our contest if you want to enter for a chance to win a Smack Talk Radio Live hat. All you got to do is send us an email onair@smacktalkradiolive.com with your opinions on the WWE today. How are you liking the road to WrestleMania? Are you enjoying it? And are you looking forward to the big show? We just want to hear your thoughts, and we'll read them on the air, and then we're going to choose one, and that winner will have a Smack Talk Radio Live hat sent to them.
And of course, just don't forget to add your contact information. Mm-hmm.
This will do it for another edition of Smack Talk Radio Live. We will see you Monday. www.smacktalkradiolive.com or facebook.com/smacktalkradio or as well on Twitter at SRL Radio.
I'm James McDonald.
And I'm Corey Callahan. This was Smack Talk Radio Live.
And we'll see you on Monday.